This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Governor Cooper announced Wednesday that North Carolina would extend its Phase 2 safer at home restrictions for 3 more weeks. And tonight at 5 p.m., a mandate goes into effect that requires most North Carolinians to wear masks in public when social distancing is not possible. Health officials had hoped to relax restrictions by the end of June, but they say the key metrics were moving in the wrong direction. And North Carolina was once a leader among states fighting coronavirus, so what happened? Joining me now is Rose Hoban. She is founder and editor of North Carolina Health News. Welcome back, Rose.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
I am fine. Let us start with the mask mandate. What is Governor Cooper saying in this executive order?
Well, it's more detailed than you would think in terms of a mask mandate. He's basically saying that when you go out of the house, you should be wearing a mask. And that includes everyone over 11 years old. It includes folks who don't have, say, like a health condition that might preclude them from wearing a mask. Maybe, for example, if you have asthma and you find it hard to breathe with the mask on, you don't have to wear the mask. But when you're out in a store, if you're in a restaurant, if you're getting your hair cut, if you're working in state government, if you're on a bus, all these kinds of things, you should be wearing a mask.
Now, listen, it's interesting because there's this old law that prohibits the wearing of face coverings that is actually in conflict with this mandate. Talk about that controversy.
Indeed it is. So it's a law that dates back to 1953. There was a lot of violence that was being perpetrated by the Klan, the Ku Klux Klan. And so there was a law that North Carolina passed that forbade the wearing of masks, hoods, et cetera, on public ways. So it said if you were 16 years or over, and if you were wearing any mask, hood, or device so that your face or voice was disguised, you could not appear in any lane, walkway, alley, street, road, highway, or other public way. So there had been an exemption to that in that was passed earlier in the year that the legislature had made possible because this thing did exist. And they were working on extending that. That expires August 1, and they were working on extending it. And as you may or may not know, they were there until the wee hours of the morning last night, and that provision was in a bill. And in the middle of the night, that provision went away.
So they didn't extend it, right? Yeah.
They did not extend it. So after August 1st, we're going to have this conflict with this old law and with Cooper's mask mandate. And I think that's part of the reason why Cooper wrote his executive order the way he did, because enforcement on this is not police saying to you, Frank Stachio, who's out on the street not wearing a mask, you're not going to get a ticket or something. But like if you were to walk into a store, a grocery store, to do some shopping, it's incumbent upon the management of that grocery store to enforce the masks. And then if you, Frank, were to say, I don't want to wear the mask, you're not going to make me wear a mask, then the grocery store owner could call the police and have you cited for trespass. So that's, I think, the way that Cooper kind of got around this old statute.
What it means is that the police are never going to cite anybody for failure to wear a mask or failure to insist on wearing a mask. In other words, the grocery store owner doesn't get cited either. The police play no part in this enforcement directly. Nobody gets cited for not wearing a mask.
Not directly, but yeah. You, like you said, the grocery store owner could call the police and say, this guy is a knucklehead and we want to charge him for trespass because he's not wearing a mask and he's, you know, being a jerk.
Right. So that, you know, gets to the fact that really this really does rest on citizens to you know, sort of abide by this because there will be no law enforcement consequence if you don't.
Right. And I think, you know, with all of the protests that have taken place, I think there's some sensitivity to having police enforcement. I know that there have been stirrings in the African-American community that folks don't feel particularly comfortable wearing a mask. And there is an exemption a provision around this in Cooper's executive order. he talks about, and I had it pulled up, but it's a long executive order. It's 9 pages long. Mm-hmm. But basically, if somebody feels like they're being targeted because of their race and they're wearing a mask, then law enforcement can get involved.
All right. So what's been the public reaction to the mask mandate?
If comments on our website are any indication, it's mixed. Now, I will say public policy polling did a poll just this week. And you could say, well, PPP is kind of a left-leaning polling outfit, but they do pretty high-quality polling. And the governor still has the support of most of, the majority of North Carolinians. And there was pretty widespread support for wearing masks. But there are going to be folks who don't want to wear it. And there have been sheriffs in 4 counties who've said that they're not going to play any part in enforcing it.
Well, and of course, they don't have a part in enforcing it, as we just indicated. Police will not be enforcing it anyway. So it's a great speech. But it turns out they don't have a role to begin with. Now, here's the thing. The reason the governor says he is extending these restrictions is because the metrics were going the wrong way. North Carolina was one of the strictest states around. Among the stricter states, there had been some great progress, and now North Carolina joins those states in seeing an uptick. What's going on?
Hard to say, Frank. I mean, part of it could have been Memorial Day. Part of it could have been protests. Now, someone could look at their calendar and say, well, it's June 26th. I have a knitting group, and most of the people in my knitting group are healthcare professionals. So we met virtually last night, and one of the women who is a researcher said, the thing that's really hard for people to wrap their heads around is that there is a really long lag time between being infected with the virus and the point where you end up needing hospitalization. It could be as much as 8-10 days before you feel any symptoms. And then things kind of can go south from there. So it could be as much as 2 weeks before you even go to the doctor. And then she was telling a story about how in New York, she heard from a friend of hers that there were bike messengers who, fell and broke a limb. And then they go in for the MRI and they go, whoa, wait, look at those lungs. This guy's got pneumonia. So, it takes a really long time. There's a long latency period. So that could be part of it. It could be Memorial Day. It could be protests. It could be the ACE Speedway. It could be that people haven't been wearing masks. It could be that when you went to downtown Raleigh, there were all kinds of young people hanging out outside of restaurants, not social distancing, not wearing masks. There's a bunch of things. And then there could be workplace exposures, because we're seeing that places with the largest rates, not the number of cases, but the largest rates, 19 out of 20 of the top counties are rural counties.
Mm. And so
be workplace.
What does that say? Because we're seeing more meat processing in those counties. Why would that be the reason?
Well, the county with the highest rate is Duplin County, which is, I forget if Tar Heel is in Duplin County or next to Duplin County. That's where the Smithfield plant is. That Duplin County has a rate of 238 cases per 10,000 residents. By comparison, Watauga County is a rate of 9 cases per 10,000 residents. And Mecklenburg has a rate of only 91 per 10,000 residents. So, it could be the meatpacking plants. It could be prisons, because we see a pretty high number or high rate, in Granville County, which is where the prison at Butner is. There's a fairly high rate in Wilkes County, where there was another big meatpacking outbreak. Part of this could be, occupational safety and health. Part of this could be in Chatham County. That outbreak kind of is just a slow burn. We saw that there was a big outbreak in one of the chicken processing plants in Siler City. And that outbreak has continued. It's still one of the top 20 counties in the state rate-wise. And it could be that the many Latino folks who work in those chicken processing plants, they live in multi-generational households. So, it could be that that's just sort of slowly spreading throughout that community.
So very briefly, what are we looking at? What is the governor looking at to for this state to move into phase 3?
I think the thing that the governor and HHS Secretary Mandy Cohen are really looking at two big things. I mean, they're looking at a lot of things, but I think the things that always tend to stand out to me is the percentage positive cases among all the cases that they test. So we have been hovering 9%, 10% today, 8%, but it's staying up in that 9-10% range. And I think that in states that are doing better, that rate is down around like 3-5%. I think that's one of the big metrics. And the other big metric is the rate of hospitalizations. We've been hovering right around 900 hospitalizations all week. Right now we're down to 892, but we were up to like 912 the other day. So, you know, as long as so many hospital beds are occupied, you know, those hospitalizations, you have a high rate of hospitalizations, and then some percentage of those folks are going to die.
All right. Thank you, Rose.
You're welcome, Frank. Good to talk to you.
Rose Hoban is the founder and editor of North Carolina Health News.